This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Christine Wong
and Audrey Raj.
We will be chatting, or have been chatting, about prescribing fruits and veggies and how it could save $100 billion in medical costs. That was our question. Well, rather, our question was, how would you feel about if you walked into a doctor's and they said, I'm not giving you a pill, I am giving you a prescription for fruit and vegetables? Would you think he's a quack or she's a quack? Or would you think, you know what, they're trying to be a little bit more holistic. Let's give it a chance. Responses, do we have any?
Yeah, so there's this one here by Ibrahim, who says, many companies in Scandinavian countries offer fresh fruits as snacks for their staff. When I was younger, there was a campaign to eat more local fruits. Maybe we can emulate that initiative and start offering local fruits during meetings instead of kue.
That would be nice.
Yes. Yeah.
I think previous employees here at BFM had suggested that quite strongly for a while.
Mm.
Notice I said previous. moving on.
Yes, on WhatsApp we've got Kellen Tan, who is very practical about this, right? He says, modern medicine acts faster. My boss is not going to give me MC for a week recovering from a sickness by using a natural method.
Agreed. Yeah.
I love how there's someone else. I think Muhammad Khairi also said something, as long as I get an MC, he's fine with it. Yeah, okay.
Productivity-wise, it's just not very practical.
Okay. Any more?
We do have a few more. We'll come back to them
all
in
right,
just a bit.
Okay. Let's move on to story number three then. It's all about how 5%, there's less than a 5% success rate for getting an interview for fresh grads. Tell me more about this.
So this came out on the Star today, and essentially what they say is that they interviewed a couple of fresh graduates. You can look at those stories on the article that we'll link in the podcast later. But the fresh graduates basically said that they have to send in more than 100 applications before securing an interview. Now, I know from experience that the job hunt is a common source of frustration and confusion for fresh graduates. So we actually went around and asked a couple of our interns around the office what their post-uni job hunt was like. And a lot of different pain points cropped up. So the first kind of obstacle, right, was the lack of job experience.
I've heard a lot from people that certain employers want to see a fully padded resume that, you know, sometimes they look more at your past experiences than your attitude towards the job itself. And that's kind of intimidating, because it's like, well, if I'm really interested and passionate for working for that company or for a particular job, but if I don't have the experience, it sounds like, well, they just might not hire me. From what I've heard, there's a lot of pressure to have the experience on paper rather than like your own interest and experience to do something for them.
Common problem has been around forever. You know, the whole you need experience to get a job. You can't get a job without the experience.
Yeah, and also the fact of the matter is, before you can even get into the interview room and prove that you would be willing to do the job, they've already written you off as a whole, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And then you think about the competitiveness of the current job market as well, and the sheer volume of applications that a company might receive from day to day.
Most of the time when I sent out my application, I would never really get replies. You limit yourself to applying to more opportunities that you could potentially get when you never get replies back from HR on jobs that you've already applied for. I think a lot of it has to do with the number of applicants. I think they deal with high volumes of applicants and it makes it difficult. Probably they don't have the right processes in place. I think it's hard to explain yourself just on a piece of paper. Unless it's a much more open process, then probably they could introduce some ways of understanding how the applicant really is as a person or in a working environment.
So I think that's also an issue as well. And also a lot of bigger firms, for example, like law firms and stuff, don't necessarily have an HR department that can go through all these applications and respond and, you know, do all of this as well. And the thing is that we get a lot of advice, I think, especially fresh graduates, things like, you know, just send out as many job applications as possible.
I had to apply for like 10 jobs and I only got response emails from 3 companies. All the other companies I applied for, they didn't respond to my email. That's what we're told as well. You have to send out as many as you can because you don't know who might get back to you.
Yeah, so that's also a problem as well. You don't get any feedback, so you don't even know what to improve, how to improve, like, what can I do to get my foot in that door?
You've been ghosted.
Exactly. Mm. And unfortunately, a lot of us, at this point, you get your foot in the door not from who you are, but who you know.
I think it's the nature of how people get jobs in Malaysia. I think more than people looking, because the idea is we have CVs and cover letters, which is a modern style of application. But in Malaysia, we still are very tied up to our tradition. So networking is very important. So it's a game of more than anything of who your parent knows, who are you connected with to get you a job. At the end of the day, all you need is an interview. But to get the interview, you need somebody to know you or know your family or know anything about you before they get you into the interview place.
Would you agree with that, Oates?
Wow, I guess that makes sense. But for me, this is really eye-opening because...
Who do you know here at BFM? It's a joke.
I know you. Well, here's the thing. Like, I entered the job market like 14 years ago, and I sent out my CV to two places, was interviewed at both places, was offered a job at both places, and I've never had to submit a resume since. So for me, this is just like... I just feel awful for, you know, what the fresh grads are going through today.
Look, I mean, for example, you know, we do have a WhatsApp in from someone who's basically just like, oh, just grow up, you know, all these millennials, just grow up. Why should I reply to every applicant? Why should I do all this? And really, it's not about replying to every applicant. For me, you know, it was always just this matter of you don't really even understand what you're doing wrong. And part of the job application experience, yeah, it is a numbers game, and we do have to play that. But it's really difficult to understand why you aren't even getting into that interview process to be able to prove yourself, right? And we were talking, for example, about texting job interviews instead of face-to-face for, you know, easier convenience, for immediate feedback. But at the end of the day, it's who you are as a person that should matter. You know, what can you bring to the company, not just on paper, but in person? And it's very difficult to even get to that opportunity.
Do we have numbers on how many fresh graduates there are from Malaysia who graduate per year? Do we have that figure somewhere?
I'm sure we can find it.
We can find it in a bit.
Okay, yeah. After the break, we'll come back with that. I mean, like you say, Chris, it's an absolute numbers game, and people cannot, they don't have the time to be able to go through all of this, obviously. But how do you solve this issue? You know, what could be a potential solution for this? Audrey's waving frantically. Yes, go on.
No, but the thing is that we have seen some CVs come in. When I say some, I mean like by the thousands. We've seen CVs come in that we immediately reject. You know, just because maybe they're... the image on the CV is sideways. They think it's kind of cool. They think it's going to attract attention. But then, you know, it also depends on where you're sending. If you're sending just that same CV to, like, say, 20 companies, you actually have to take the time to customize your CV to get attention. And it's not just about, you know, having a cool photo or, you know, having a nice design, everything being clean on one page. But your CVs need to impress, and you need to know who you're sending these CVs to, you know, which company, and customize them.
So this is from an article that was published in June 2018. And it says every year in Malaysia, over 200,000 students graduate from institutions of higher learning, but only one out of five graduates remain unemployed, with the majority being degree holders. And those graduates make up 35% of those who are unemployed.
So roughly 200,000 students per year graduate.
Yes, and it's growing.
That's a lot of CVs going out.
Yeah.
You think about it.
Interesting. I'm kind of stuck for where I want to go next with this. But, okay, a couple of things that I have learned over the years, not necessarily from CVs, but from business cards, oddly enough. When I've been to conventions and one thing or another, and somebody has passed me a business card that is not the uniform business card shape, whether it be smaller, bigger, whatever, some guy handed me a business card that was literally twice the size of a normal business card, right? And at first I thought, that's a really dumb thing to do. But then I realized, well, it doesn't fit with the rest of them. It sticks out, and I have to put it in a special place on my desk. And I held on to it because it stuck out and did something completely different to the rest of them. When I wanted to come back and do an interview regarding, I think it was artificial intelligence, the one that I reached for was that business card because it stuck out like the rest of them. I don't know how you can kind of apply that thinking to a CV or to a resume or to a cover letter, but I'm sure somebody far smarter out there can. If you can kind of apply that thinking, you know, to resumes and stuff, maybe that might help a little bit.
And also to not take that too far, not to be
outrageous. I don't want balloons attached to it, and, you know, I don't want to be able to open it and it plays me a song, but, you know.
That would be kind of cool, though.
It would be cool.
Yeah,
you get the idea, though, right?
But we'll hopefully revisit this next week from the other perspective, you know, from people who do actually work in talent management and recruiting. So hopefully we'll get both sides of the story.
I don't think saying grow up is a solution, to be fair. I think that's just a way of just kind of dismissing a problem that exists. I think what we should do is try and work together on solving that issue rather than pretending it doesn't exist. All right, we're going to take a short break. Music coming up from the Get Up Kids with Stay Gone. When we come back, final story of the day. Product accessibility is a legal requirement, not an option. Just ask Beyonce. What are we talking about? Find out more after the break. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.